The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 16th, 2021.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a day here in Sonoma County. My heart goes out to all the people in Haiti, that horrible, horrible earthquake. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the earth, the Mother Earth is crying that we've got to do something. We've got to start taking care of her and taking better care of ourselves and each other, for heaven's sakes. Anyway, today I have a really good show planned. Join me on the phone today will be Amy Nykamp, who's the newly elected president for the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter, and she'll be telling us about a special recognition program that's the chapter's going to be getting recognition in their upcoming event on August 26th, which is Women's Equality Day and the celebration of 101 years since we received the vote. Amazing. The Equal Rights Amendment is still not quite there yet, and we are still struggling to control our destinies and have some influence in this world, and still fighting like crazy to have control over our own bodies. I mean, it's just amazing to me. It really is. I'm so excited. Also joining me on the phone will be retired Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey. Lynn Woolsey is a former U.S. representative for California's 6th Congressional District, serving from 1993 to 2013. She is a member of the Democratic Party, and she's also a member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and was its co-chair from 2010 until her retirement in 2013. We'll be talking about her career as a congresswoman and what she's doing during her retirement. Lynn Woolsey is really one of my favorite politicians, and we have a lot to learn from her. Also, I'll be asking what she thinks about what is happening in today's political world and how it's changed from what she experienced and what advice she would give the women who are thinking about running for office today. Well, you know, we're going to do something just a little bit different for today's show. I have my first guest joining me on the phone. I think Ken has her... I think Ken has her queued up. Joining on the phone is Amy Nykamp, who is the newly elected president for the National Organization for Women, Sonoma County Chapter, and she's going to let us know about some special recognition that the chapter is getting receiving and their up-and-coming event. Well, welcome, Amy. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you so much, Elaine. I'm really pleased and honored to be asked to speak on your show.
Well, congratulations, brand new president. And, I mean, you're doing a great job. And we have this wonderful, wonderful event planned for August 26th, which is Women's Equality Day. Well, let me just tell folks just a little bit about you. Amy Nykamp is an adult reference librarian for the Sonoma County Library. She also has a background in working with children and teens and was part of the team that of the Sonoma County History and Genealogy Library that helped with the production of the National Organizations for Women, Sonoma County's chapter, a 19th Amendment Centennial 2020 Women's Suffrage Calendar. Which included national and local California heroes, and now she's our new president. Well, welcome again, and again, congratulations. You know, Amy, as we start, before we start, why don't you just give us a little bit of background on now and what inspired you to become president?
Sure. Thank you for asking. Since our founding in 1966, the purpose of the National Organization for Women, also known as NOW, is take action through intersectional grassroots activism to promote feminist ideals, lead societal change, eliminate discrimination, and achieve and protect the equal rights of all women and girls in all aspects of social, political, and economic life. We also in doing this, we oppose racism, we're fighting bigotry against the LGBTQ plus community, and we're trying to end violence against women. So all of that is really what drove me into wanting to become active in NOW when I learned about it. I know the Sonoma County chapter has been around since, 1988?
Right.
And it just seemed like a good place to go. And I'm stepping into some huge shoes, Elaine, because you have been president for a long time, and you were... you've been instrumental in so much, so it's a little intimidating.
No. You're doing great. I mean, I'm really. It's amazing. We've already got a Facebook page going, and of course, we have a newsletter program going. So, congratulations. No, you're doing a good job. It's wonderful to watch it because you know when you do work in an organization, it's nice to turn it over to somebody that you can trust. So, congratulations again.
Well, thank you.
You know, we have a special event coming up right now, and I mean, I'm really excited about that because we did produce, I mean, we know what happened with the pandemic last year, like all of a sudden, you know, everything went, boom, it was over with. We started having celebrations. I mean, a shout out to Leslie Graves out there, who was the first person who put on the first event to kick off the 100th year for the since we got the right to vote. And then in March, all of a sudden, boom, everything shut down, and it was a minimal amount of things done. I mean, a special shout-out to the Petaluma Museum. I mean, they were able to do virtual tours and also with the Sonoma County Museum. But now here we are in 2021, and we're celebrating 101 years on August 26th, and we have this special event coming up. So why don't you talk a little bit about it? What is it, and what is going to happen?
So what a little bit of the background is, you've already mentioned what the calendar was for, and it was really instrumental in providing information on this long march toward equality and being able to vote. And while our plans didn't all work out because of the pandemic as we planned last year, the calendar itself is being recognized by the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors as an historic document. And that's happening on August 24th as a gold resolution. So we're really excited about that. And 2 days later on August 26th, to commemorate that occasion, we have invited many of the women leaders from our county who are either featured on the pages of the calendar or who were instrumental in its creation. And all of them have worked for women's rights. So you mentioned you're going to be interviewing Lynn Woolsey. I am thrilled. She's going to be one of the women who will be present and able to speak to us. We've also got Linda Hopkins on the Board of Supervisors. We have our District Attorney Jill Ravitch to speak. We have our former Board of Supervisors Shirley Zane coming. Elaine, you're speaking. And Gay LeBaron is coming, and everybody knows Gay in this county. So there's others coming too, and it's just too long to talk about. But they'll each be addressing what topics they feel are most important for our Sonoma County NOW chapter to prioritize. And the meeting will go from 6 to 8 p.m. that Thursday, August 26th. We do have a link to it through our Facebook page or through the Sonoma NOW chapter website, which is nowsonoma.org. And if you want to join the Zoom gathering, then you need to register. And so all of that is listed on our website and our newsletter.
Right, and everything will also be, we're also going to be listing all these information on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces. So there's many, many places people can find the information. How can they get, is there any email that you have if they have a question that they can email you and ask a question, or maybe the press is out there listening?
Yes, certainly. My email address is Amy, A-M-Y, at NYKAMP, N as in Nancy, Y-K, A, M as in Mary, P as in Paul, amy@nykamp.us, as in Sam.
Well, also, they can go on the website. Can they sign up and become members?
Absolutely. I believe that that would be a wonderful thing to have happen for us. And we've also got all the information for that in the newsletter, which is published on the website.
Okay, and that's at nowsonoma.org, right?
Yes.
Well, any last words, Amy, that you'd like to tell our listening audience? Of course, we want everybody and his brother to join. I mean, men are also welcome. I mean, now has a history of male and female members. And that's going to be this Thursday, the 26th, which is really exciting. That's Women's Equality Day, and also celebrating 101 years since we've gotten the vote. And to celebrate this marvelous calendar that so many people put together. I mean, it was really, I really believe it was an act of love. And it was a mystical experience. And I will tell the story of the calendar when it's my time to speak, just how it evolved and how we were able to do all that we did with it. So any last words that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would say that go to nowsonoma.org, and you can see a great photo of the cover of the calendar, so you get an idea of what it looks like. And I just hope that as many people as possible can attend, either on our live streaming Facebook recording or through Zoom. And again, go to nowsonoma.org for so many of the details. Well, and thank you for having me on.
Well, Amy Nykamp, thank you for being on, and thank you for taking over the position of president of the Sonoma County chapter of the National Organization for Women. It's really, really exciting. And, you know, we've started in 1988, and we're as strong as ever. And our goal right now is to, of course, to bring younger people in who have the energy to keep moving forward with all that NOW has accomplished. And it's also forever changing. It's always evolving. And that's the beauty of the organization. So thank you once again, Amy, and much, much success with this new event.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
My pleasure, my friend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wow, there are so many wonderful women in this community, and thank you, Amy. Thank you for the whole and the executive board for the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter. We have definitely held it together. And, you know, our history is our strength, and I want to get on with the show and get on and have Lynn Woolsey on, but there's something very special, I have to say, that's happening on August 18th. Our history is our strength, and what it is that Rosalynn Carter, a former U.S. First Lady from 1977 to 1981. He was politically active while in the White House, focused on mental health, senior citizens, and community volunteerism. And she's the co-founder of the Carter Center with her husband in 1982. And it's her birthday. So happy birthday to Rosalynn Carter. And also, this is very interesting. Yesterday, this is the 16th. Yesterday, August the 15th, was another birthday that I must say happy birthday to Aurora Castillo. This is so interesting. You know, I was born in East Los Angeles, and Aurora Castillo was a community activist, co-founder of Mothers of East Los Angeles in 1984, which worked against a proposed prison and hazardous waste dump in East Los Angeles. So happy birthday. She made her transition in 1998. And then there's one last birthday that I want to celebrate, and that's the 17th of August. That's going to be, today's the 16th, tomorrow's the 17th. This woman was born in 1927 and made her transition in 1997. And I don't know if I have a little inkling to her, but her name was Elaine Hedges. She was an educator, and she helped create the field of women's studies and a founding member of the National Women's Studies Association program in the country. She's a writer. She was a writer and an editor for the Feminist Press, and she made her transition in 1997. And these women, you know, when they came forward, it was just amazing. You know, Rosalynn Carter was just a whole different First Lady. I mean, her and Jimmy Carter brought a new sense of spirituality and also ecology into the White House. I mean, they actually had solar panels, which for some reason Ronald Reagan decided to take off. I don't know why he didn't leave them on, but that's just what happened. So happy birthday to Rosalyn, happy birthday to Elaine, and happy birthday to Aurora. You've done some wonderful things, and we are standing on the shoulders of some really, really powerful women. And one of them is our own representative here in Sonoma County, Lynn Woolsey, which we're going to bring on after we take a musical break. And the song that I'm playing is a very appropriate song. It's sung by Beverly Grant. It's a perfect song, I think, before we bring Lynn Woolsey on, because it's called The Ones Who Came Before Us. I mean, we are standing on the shoulders of many, many great women. And I know Lynn Woolsey has done an amazing job for us while she was in Congress. And I know she has some very strong opinions about some of the changes that we can make moving forward. So let's go ahead, Ken, let's go ahead and put the song on, The Ones Who Gone Before Us, sung by Bev Grant, and then we'll bring Lynn Woolsey on the phone.
Of an opening, a breaking through, and we know the situation calls for something new. There are times we cannot see what's just ahead, but still we know there is a life to be led, a path to follow, and we must go, and we must go.
When we make it through, and we are going to make it through. Well, for you just joining us, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest. Joining me on the phone is one of my favorite congresswomen, retired Congresswoman Lynn G. Woolsey. Welcome, Congressman Woolsey.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you. Nice to be here with you.
Oh, I'm just so excited. I mean, I'm shaking. I'm just so happy to have you on.
Well, you know, let me say something before you, because you always say so many nice things about me. But, you know, I know your listeners know what a
gift you are to this community. So thank you, Elaine Holtz, for doing what you've been doing all these years for women and for the community and for communicating and helping people understand what's going on and giving them actually things to think about besides what is exactly happening, knowing what's happening and what to do about it most of the time.
Well, thank you. That is such an honor to hear that from you. Thank you
well,
so much.
Thank you. It's an honor to be talking with you.
Well, let me tell folks just a little bit about you. I mean, I know you've been around for a while, but, you know, every generation needs to know. That's what I loved about that song. I mean, we are standing on the shoulders of many great women, and I have to say you are also one of them. Lynn G. C. Woolsey was elected in 1992, which happened to be the year of the woman. She joined 23 other freshman women representatives in the 103rd Congress in 1993 to 1995. Woolsey used her experience as a member of the Petaluma City Council in California to mount a successful congressional campaign and to build a two-decade career in the U.S. House of Representatives. I mean, 20 years, Lynn, you have a lot to share with us, and a lot I know I want to get into what you think we need to do in today's world. I mean, I know it has changed. Well, Lynn was born in Seattle, King County, Washington, on November 3rd. She graduated from Lincoln High School in Seattle, Washington, attended the University of Washington, and got her BS from the University of San Francisco in Human Resource Managers and Personnel. And she had her own, I believe you had your own personnel service in Marin, and also taught at Marin Community College in Indian Valley, California. My goodness, what a career you had. And then you served, decided not to run for a re-election this year and retired in 2013. What a career you've had. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, because I don't brag about myself all that much, but I'll talk about any issue you want to talk about, Elaine.
Well, the first thing, you know, before we get into today's world, you know, I just talk a little bit about, because I know there are many women out there, and oftentimes they're scratching their head thinking, how can I run? How can I serve? What can I do? Talk a little bit about what motivated you to decide to get involved in politics and how you kind of started. What were some of your first steps?
Well, I'll tell you what I and I still tell, because I talk at high schools quite often. Absolutely, in general, be involved in what you're interested in. If you're not interested in anything, well, then you're not going to be a politician. But if you're interested, get involved. You do not have to be the leader. Be a good team player, and if leadership positions come along and you can fulfill them, give it a good try and do it. But the worst thing a young person can do is stand on the sidelines and watch what's happening. I mean, this is men and women, young men and young women. You have to get involved in your life, period. And then if you need to, do something about it. So I first got involved as the vice president of my girls' club when I was in the eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
So, and it was a large junior high school, and it was a real campaign. I had a real opponent, and my older sister, well, my only sister, my sister, who was a year ahead of me, ran my campaign, and we won. And that was, I have to say, I've never lost an election.
Oh, that's
so.
That's
I cannot tell you what that feels like. So, or what I would do if I did.
Well, you know, I want to tell you a little secret. I don't know if you remember, but I remember when you first started, you decided to run for Congress, okay?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there was a call. I lived in Roner Park at the time, and there was a call, and we all met at your house in Petaluma. I remember that was the first time I met you, and it was just so exciting to think that we were going to have a woman running for Congress in our county.
I know, and it was such a huge step from City Council, 8 years on the Petaluma City Council, very active, but from city council to Congress. Oh my goodness. But that it was my one and only chance. Barbara Boxer had was going for Senate, and the seat was open, and I decided to give it a stab, and I would never have won without women.
Oh, we walked and knocked and walked and knocked and had parties and knocked.
and the Women's History Project were all women I'd worked with when I was the chair of the Commission on the Status of Women for Sonoma County. And I went to them first, and that was just before the kitchen meeting you came to, and told them what I wanted to do and what I was thinking of doing, and they all were so quiet. And finally, I think Bonnie said, well, we've always worked for women candidates. They've never won, but of course we'll work for you. and when I won, you don't know how many people were just, what? But it was absolutely the right thing for me to do, and I loved being the congresswoman for 20 years here and running 10 times. But at 75 years old, it was time to have somebody else take the reins, I believed. I don't believe that older people are supposed to run the world. I think younger people are supposed to run it.
Well, they get from what they get from us older people is inspiration and the idea that, yes, you can if you make up your mind. It's just like what they said, women generally lose. And I remember you saying, I remember you standing there saying, we will win. I remember, like, and we all went, we will win. I mean, we were just, it was such an amazing time, and then the celebration when it actually happened. I mean, it was marvelous. Well, you know, we're going to take a little break in a little bit, but before we go, and the next part of the show, I would like to talk about some of your ideas of what we can do for the future, and what, you know, give us a little analysis of what you think is happening in Washington today. It certainly has changed quite a bit since you've served. It doesn't feel as cooperative as it might have been at one time. But what was your underlying motivation for making decisions? I know one of the things that was very positive about you is the fact that at one point in your life that you did run into some challenges and you had to be supplemented with welfare. I myself, in order to go to my first leg of school, you know, I was very lucky. I was also supplemented. I was able to be supported by the state, which was a wonderful opportunity, and I know I paid it back 10,000-fold, and I know you have also. But what was that? What was your underlying motivation when you made decisions? What did you feel it was different as a woman? I mean, you were one of the early women there. Would you think it was different than the way the men made decisions?
Yes, and do you know who pointed that out to me?
No.
First, I ran against a slate of all men, 8 men, and Lynn. And there was one other woman, but she was there for another reason. But it was, you know, nobody, it wasn't serious competition. But it was 8 men and Lynn Woolsey, and to start with, in our primary. And I don't know if you remember Bill Flaunty. He was the Republican I was going to run against.
Oh, right, right.
Right. And he would come to our debates, and he came up to me at one of the debates, and he said, Lynn, why aren't you telling your story? And I had said at home and to friends that I am different. I mean, I'm saying the same things all these Democratic men are saying, because we all believe the same thing. I mean, we weren't being phony. We're Marin and Sonoma County. These are good people. And but I knew I was different, but I didn't, I hadn't put my finger, you know, I hadn't thought it through. And when this was a Republican that was going to be my opponent in the final race if I won, saying, use your story, which meant when I was on welfare as a single mother. And I sat down that night and I wrote it all out, what a difference it made, because I had walked my talk.
Right. You understood. You had been there. You understand. You know, I mean, I remember it just killed me when that whole idea came out, when Ronald Reagan came out with the idea about the welfare mother, yeah. You know, driving a Cadillac and having drugs. And I thought to myself, my God, I was going to school as a single parent. I mean, I was trying to make something out of my life.
Well, and you and I were the real example of what a welfare mother was. It was a white woman with one or two children. I had three, and abandoned by their husband for one reason or another, and not husband, but the father of the children. And I used that. I mean, in Congress, I was the only welfare recipient that ever admitted right away that I had been on welfare, and my staff would say, you can't run and be known, have the only thing you're known for is being on welfare. And I said, I know that, but who will say these things if I don't? You know, who's going to tell it as it is if I don't? Because I've been there. And so I would hear the Republican men quiet when I would talk on the floor about welfare, and I'd hear, yeah, but she's different. And I would point out, because I'd hear that, I am the example of exactly what a welfare mother looked like.
And also, you know, the desire to go to go back to school. I remember when I went to Los Angeles City College, I mean, it was one woman after another coming back with single parents, two or three children. I had a single child. In fact, it's really funny. I ran for office at Los Angeles City College, and I had my daughter with me. And they asked, they said, well, why? They went up to her and asked, why should we vote for your mother? And she looks at him. She says, my mother doesn't hit me.
Oh, bless her heart.
I'll never forget that. Well, Lynn, you know, I want to get into some of your opinions about what's going on in Washington today and some of the ideas that you might have. But let's take, if it's okay with you, I want to take a little musical break, right, real quickly. And the song we're going to play is For Those Who Believe in Freedom, and it's sung by Emily Ephart. And I think this is, I try to pick the songs that kind of go along with what the guest, and I think this song I really want to dedicate to you, and I want to thank you again for being on the show. And so go ahead, we're going to go ahead and take a musical break, and we're going to be listening to Ella's song, sung by Emily Elbert. And when we come back, we will we'll continue our conversation with retired Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey, and we're going to talk, and she's going to give us some opinions of what ideas that she has about how we can cure some of the things that are happening today. Go ahead, Ken, let's go ahead and play that.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes, until the killing of black men, black mothers, sons, is as important as the killing of a white man, white mother's sons. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. The older I get, the better I know that the secret of my storm. To me, young people come first. They have a courage where we fail. And if I can but shed some light as they carry us through the gale. Struggling myself don't mean a whole lot. I come to realize the teaching of
survives. I'm a woman who speaks in a voice, and I must be heard. At times I can be quite difficult. I bow to no man's word. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot
rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. You better believe that. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and we will continue our conversation with retired Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey, who served as the United States Congress for 20 years. Welcome back, Lynn. Welcome back to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine.
Boy, that song, boy, we believe in freedom. We cannot rest. It's so true. So let's talk a little bit about what are some of your feelings? Here you are after 20 years, after dedicating your life to, you know, to the cause. And I mean, you've done so many wonderful things for California. What is your take on what's happening today? I mean, what did we just come out of, and what do you think the future looks like? And what, any ideas that you might have?
Well, that song was a perfect kickoff. It was wonderful. Because I don't think we're going to have real freedom unless we do five things. And the first, and this is going to, it doesn't matter. The first is we have to get money out of politics. Because until we get money out of politics, everything that follows it, all the decisions that are made on both sides of the aisle, I mean, way less as Democrats, but on both sides of the aisle, will be based on the money that it takes to run for office, and we've got to make that stop. But it's going to be long and hard, but the public has to make the outcry, and the Supreme Court has to change what they passed that made the businesses people. You know, these are humans. Each business that gets, never mind.
I want to inject something here about the money in politics. We're looking at recalls here in California.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, you know, forget about that it's a recall against Newsom. Forget it's a recall against Ravage. But recognize it's a recall because people are mad because they did not get something they wanted. And it's almost like a revenge, and they just dump their money into it.
And it isn't people. It's with Ravage. Just one person doesn't like what she did, what an attorney general does. You do investigate when something happens wrong, you know. Anyway, so money has to be out of politics. I could go on and on, but it's going to take long. The other thing, we have to make education better. We have to educate people so they can analyze and think and care. I mean, our education system is being technical is fine, but you have to also be able to analyze and make decisions and to think about what's happening. Then we have to learn from history.
Oh, very important. Our history's our strength.
That's it. If we don't learn from our past, we keep repeating our mistakes, and we have to learn from our mistakes. And then we have to listen to the younger generation. They are our future. They're their future. And I'm not talking about yours and my kids, because we did so much. Honestly, Elaine, you've done so much. And I've done a lot. My generation has done so much. And that generation was the first generation where both parents had to go to work and blah, 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 blah. So I'm skipping that generation. We have to listen to the generation following them, because they're the ones that are going to inherit what's going on here. and they're going to have to fix it. They have every the excuse on earth to be furious at me and you. I say that as hard as we've worked. I mean, my 21-year-old grandson says, well, not you, Alma. And I say, no, honey, it happened on my watch. I don't know how it happened on my watch, but that's when all this turned so bad. It began. And so anyway, we have to listen to them, because if we don't, we're going to repeat and repeat and repeat. We can't follow in our, say, oh, well, we've got to make everything better and get back to what was. No, we have to make everything better for what is and what's going to be.
I like that, what is and what is going to be. And also, yeah, and also to really get that into our psyche, that our children are the future. You know, I think about what the Native Americans say. They say we have to think in terms of seven generations.
That's right. You know, they know.
And there's a line in one of Neil Young's songs called Light a Candle. What we do today is what we have to live with. Yeah. And that is so important. And we are living with the destruction. We're living what we did not to pay attention to. We got one more thing. What's number five?
Number five is vote.
Vote.
One man, one vote makes a democracy. And we have to make it happen.
Well,
it has to happen.
Around the vote, you know what's so scary right now? What really concerns me, and I think fear is a bad word, because in the first letter in fear is F. You got to have faith. You got to have faith in that you're, if you work on the future is going to change. But the thing that really concerns me, and I'm sure it must concern you now, if you were running, it would probably really be a big concern. And that is that people, the way they're talking now, people are losing confidence. I mean, you know, there's I forgot who said it, but they said if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes a truth.
I guess.
And what's happening with this whole election thing, you know, people, you know, I mean, there's so many different opinions. It's mind-boggling. What do you think? How do you think people need to handle this whole thing?
Well, they have to look at facts, not opinions. They have to look at facts. And the facts don't support the opinion that these weren't legitimate elections. And if they weren't, I mean, if there's that many questions, yes, we have to fix it, but we have to fix it not so people can't vote. I mean, you know, people have to vote, period.
Well, you know, you sat in the Congress for 20 years, you know, how do you see it different today? I mean, there's such a division. I mean, what do you think has to happen to bring people together? I mean, it feels like little by little it's happening, but in my mind, it doesn't feel like it's fast enough.
Well, it might. Well, Elaine, I think we need a middle ground. I mean, we need the progressives, of which I don't think I would have been progressive enough for now, to tell you the honest truth. But we need a middle ground. And that's who Joe Biden is. But we need a middle ground that's accepted as, you know, in politics, because we've got the edges. We've got the progressives and the radicals, conservatives. And there's no middle ground. And it's all on politics. But if you have a third party in there, then it won't work. You know, then you can't have it either or. There has to be... a middle ground, and somehow it has to come up. That's all there is to it. And that's really hard for me to say, because I think everybody listening knows I was, the whole time I was in Congress for 20 years, I was one of the five most liberal members of Congress. And if I was number five that year, I mean, there was a way they measured all of this. If I was number five, I thought, oops, I'm slipping. You know, I'm supposed to be one or two. Lots of times I was the most liberal member. But that's fine. But there was a middle when I was there. That, and we knew how to work together until Gingrich, when he came in and the Tea Party, that's when things started falling apart.
Well, you know what's interesting, when I look at this insurrection that happened, and I looked at how angry people were and some of the things it done, you know, one of the things, I had this fantasy, I had this dream that I had a meeting with all these people that were angry, and I says, you know, I agree with you, I'm angry too, but let's fight for what we need to fight for, what's right, not to fight with anger and such hostility, but to try to put that energy into pushing our leaders to doing the right thing and to come together with some sort of consensus where maybe we all put the children first.
Wouldn't that be something?
You know, I mean, you know, I was thinking of, they have this group called the Proud Boys or something they were, and I thought, you know, what are you proud of? Why were you bursting into the Capitol? What were you going to achieve? You wanted a dictatorship? And we have a constitution, you know. That's how we need to work together. Why aren't we working together? And that's what I think is so important. And then, of course, one of the things that, you know, one of the things, I would add a sixth thing to your list here.
Okay.
You know, because I think your list is very powerful, especially the idea of educating, because we're not critically thinking. But the next thing we have to do is we have to bring back this fairness doctrine with the media.
We
cannot allow the media to continue to lie like this. It's upsetting. I mean, the families are divided.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's almost like there's two sides of the aisle in a family. So what recommendations would you give to people as far as research and finding things out?
Well, there are some stations that you can trust, I think. I think you can trust PBS. And with MSNBC and CNN, just know that they don't lie to us, but they're on our side. I have to take that always in account because they're good progressive stations, but people have to look at what's happening and what it means to them, but they don't because they're so busy and there's so much happening. But if Fox is a person's news, the Fox cable station, then they don't have news. They really just have opinion.
Well, you know, it's very, speaking of Fox News, you know, I mean, this is a women's show, and, you know, there are many, many women in media right now. They're standing on the shoulders of women like yourself. I mean, women that came before us that fought like dogs for us to get that kind of ability to be able to have a voice in the world. And then when all of a sudden you see broadcasters like Laura Ingraham saying on her show that in order to get people to go back to work, we have to take food away from them.
I know.
I said to myself, wait a minute, ladies, this is not what we worked for. We worked to bring peace and love and harmony so our children could have a better future. You're not aiding us in that area.
I know. But we're not going to have that unless we get money out of politics,
right?
So that the people can advertise in great big expensive advertisements about how these children are eating the food that I guess should go to the top 1%. You know, I don't know. But so that's what I'd say. Now I need to say one more thing. Okay.
Go ahead.
On your list of what to talk about, one was greatest achievements, and so I wrote the National Seashore, you know, expanding the Sonoma Coast all the way to Mendocino to be protected from oil and gas exploration and extraction. I see that as, can't help but be my number one most important contribution. But then I put... my second thing is having dinner with Congressman Jared Huffman when he was still in the state assembly and saying, Jared, I'm going to retire and I want you to run for my seat. And his eyes got big and he said, what? You know, and of course he did run and he did win. And I want to tell you, I think my successor is the perfect person to be there right now.
Well, it's interesting because I think after about maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that conversation, when he decided to run, he came to our No Name group. That was the first time I met him. And it was really, wonderful to, you know, it's nice that you were able to support your, who's going to replace you. I mean, I think it's amazing. Well, Lee, we're coming to the end of our segment, and I just want to know, is any things that you're working on? I know you're working on a literacy program in Petaluma. Are there any programs that you'd like to let folks know about or anything in particular that you need support on?
Well, two of the groups I'm part of are national. One is called Issue One, and it's all retired senators and congresswomen people and judges, nonpartisan. And the one issue is getting money out of politics, and they're doing it. We're doing a lot of what's happening is based on what Issue One has put out, and then the other one is the National Committee to protect Social Security and Medicare. I'm on a advisory committee for them with Tom Hank Harkins, Senator Harkins. You know, I think from Iowa, everybody knows him, and those are major issues that, you know, we have to be working on. And then I'm on boards and committees, like you said. Literacy Works, of course, locally is a really wonderful group that educates adults at the junior college level and helps them by providing them funding while they. Not only pays for them their tuition, but pays for, gives them a stipend for being in school.
Well, it's
hopefully getting people who don't have an education, making it possible for them to go to school by providing them a stipend.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing, Lynn. You know, Congressman Woolsey, you never retire.
No, I know. I've been retired 8 years.
I mean, you can't. I mean, when you're involved, you know, it's important. Your voice is important, and your experience is important, and your understanding is important. And I thank you for those five. Actually, and we added the sixth thing.
I like the six. I'm going to add that.
Yeah, the sixth thing we got. Six.
I am because that's what people are listening to. You know.
And, very, very important. So any last words, any website you want to send people to, anything, it's your moment, whatever you'd like to share with us.
Well, no, I want people to stay involved and pick one or two of the issues they're interested in and work on them. And then the world will change if people stay in tune. But what we have to know here is we are different. We do, don't kid yourself that we don't live in the nicest place in the world, because we do. With the most woke people, as Barbara Lee would say, we live in a magnificent area. We've got Elaine Holt. Thank you.
Well, Lynn Woolsey, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to also tell my listeners that when we have the celebration for the National Organization for Women, we're going to have the Zoom on August 26th. Lynn is going to be on there, I guess, and hopefully I'd like to hear you say these five things when we call on you, Lynn. This is just wonderful.
Oh, good.
Well,
yes,
thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm going to repeat them when we say goodbye. I'm just going to go over it with our listeners, you know, because I think these are very, very wise words, very important. And particularly the first one, get the money out of politics. I mean, we got to have equal chance, you know, otherwise we'll never have a perfect union. We'll have an oligarchy, and we don't want that.
Well, we've got an oligarchy, and we've got to get rid of it before it becomes worse.
I know, it's amazing. Well, thank you once again, Lynn Woolsey. Thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and I look forward to seeing you on the 26th.
Okay, thank you, Elaine. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, and goodbye. Oh, my goodness, what a great show. What a great woman.
you know, I'm so proud to know her. I mean, so proud that, you know, that all her years is as a congresswoman, what she's been able to do. And of course, like she said, her most important thing was the saving our coast. Well, let's just go over the six things really quick. Number one, Lynn Woolsey said, get money out of politics. Number two, educate our population. Number three, very important, I say that every single week, our history is our strength. Number four, listen to the younger generation. You know, they are shouting and yelling. They're saying, you have disappointed us. You need to start moving. Listen to them. Number five, vote. And number six, the media. We've got to bring in the fairness doctrine again. We cannot lie over the air and give misinformation to our people. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holt, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces, and a special thank you to two of my guests, Amy Nykamp from the National Organization for Women, who reminded us that on August 26th, there's going to be a special Zoom. They're going to be honored for their a centennial calendar, and you can go on their website now, Sonoma.org, for all the information. And from the bottom of my heart, a special, special thank you for retired Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey for the job that she's done and for being such a guest and for continuing to be involved. Look at these two programs she's looking at taking money out of politics and also protecting our Social Security. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. A reminder again, our children and our future, we must never, never lose sight of that. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
In your life, she can wake so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 16th, 2021.